not pink. I want it more pink.
Are y'all fed? Am I on? There we go. Are y'all fed up?
Well, here around here, I'm looking at all these fall colors, and I can't help but think of a very, very special harvest, kind of harvest time. Amen. Long before the dawn, before the rooster has his say, the farmer and the farmer's wife began another day. She will wash the dishes, he will milk the cows. And like every spring for 40 years, it's time to hitch the plow. Now he knows every furrow like the back of his hand. Somehow they've made a living by living off the land. It ain't nothing fancy, it don't look like much to some, but these fields can feed a family before the winter comes. For 39 harvest times the farmer's wife has prayed that the man she's always loved would go to church with her one day. But he's as stubborn as the mule that helps him work the summer fields. She prays for grace, she prays for rain and the crops that they will yield. Now no one knows what's going on inside an old man's head, but one October Sunday morn, he got out of bed. He put on his coat and tie, and he polished up his shoes. The farmer joined the farmer's wife together on a pew. That little congregation, they'll not forget the day when he walked to the altar and he knelt down to pray. And like the leaves on the trees, the tears began to fall. For that seed that she had planted had been growing after all.
Forty harvest times, 40 crops that they had grown. 40 years of Sunday, she went to church alone.
Same way anymore. It's the October harvest she's been waiting for. If you have a little faith before you sow that seed below, you'll see it grow.
Leaves the same way anymore.
It's the October harvest she's been waiting for. It's the October harvest she's been waiting for.
And maybe you got friends and loved ones that you've been praying for a long time, and the important thing is you just keep on praying. Well, we had somebody come up. We've met a number of folks we've seen in other places, and somebody came up and talked about a song that I wrote. I don't even know how long ago it's been, but I just started singing it again just a couple of weeks ago. It's kind of, again, it's one of those testimonies. I was raised in church, and I got to tell you, it does get sweeter as the days go by when you're in Christ. So where is that fellow that talked about was telling me about the fire burns brighter? There you are, right there. Well, this is for you, brother. It's probably the second time I've been singing in a long time. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Now, I didn't write this one. Give me oil oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. When I was a boy, I heard the preaching of God's word. It lit a fire within my heart as His word I heard. It's been many years since that fire was lit, and old Satan's tried to put it out. But there's a song I have to sing, still makes me want to shout. Well, the fire burns brighter now today than it did back then. And even though the way gets hard, His fire still burns within. The fire's glow fills my soul. I love Him more and more. I'm glad to say the fire today burns brighter than before. Man, we've covered a lot of territory in 33 years. Listen to this. I've traveled now for many miles. The road at times seems long. And there are days I feel like I can't sing a single song. But the Holy Spirit then fans the flame just when I seem to tire. He says to me, it won't go out. I'll throw another log upon the fire. Well, the fire burns brighter now today than it did back then. And even though the way gets hard, the fire still burns within. The fire's glow fills my soul. I love Him more and more. I'm glad to say the fire today burns brighter than before. Does the fire burn brighter now today than it did back then? And even though your way gets hard, does the fire still burn within? Does the fire's glow fill your soul? Do you love Him more and more? Oh, can you say the fire today burns brighter than before? I'm glad to say the fire today burns brighter than before. Keep me burning till the break of day. Amen. I was born and raised in El Paso, Texas, and that's the only reason I can give you that this song ended up sounding like this. You talk about going through times of trial. Listen, we all go through trials, but we should not be like the children of Israel. There in, I believe it's Psalm 139, it says, by the rivers of Babylon there we sat down, and we hanged our harps on the willows in the midst thereof. Then there they that had carried us away captive, and they required of us mirth, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. And that's just kind of paraphrasing what that passage of Scripture says. I heard somebody, Brother Cox, preach from that and say, well, praise God, they didn't take the songs of God and pollute them in front of the heathen. Because it goes on to say, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? And I thought, now, I'm just a dumb singer, but I don't think that's the point trying to be made there. They couldn't have sung the songs of God because their hearts weren't right. They were in captivity because of their open rebellion against God. And as great a man as David was, and as Samuel, and Elijah, and Elisha, you realize we have something that they never had access to? Oh, they knew what it was to have the hand of God, the Spirit of God, move upon them, but none of them ever experienced the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So consequently, when we go through times of trials, we should never be in a position where we hang our harps on the willow. We should always have a song in our heart, even through the midst of trial and crisis. So that's kind of the reason I wrote this song. And that's being from El Paso and being that's where Marty Robbins is from. That's kind of why I guess it sounded like this when we ended up writing. Listen. The children of Israel held captive. Their harps on the willows were hung. No songs filled the air, bound by deep despair. See how far from God they had come. Don't hang your harp on the willow. There's still a song you can see. When all seems to go wrong, you think all hope is gone. By His grace, a new song He'll bring. Don't hang your harp on the willow. You can sing while in a strange land. The Holy Spirit within will be your strength, my friend. So don't hang your harp on the willow. No, don't hang your harp on the willow. Aren't you thankful for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? And for the promises of God, like God gave Paul, said, my grace will be sufficient for thee. And you know what? Paul always had a song in his heart. And I don't know whether he could sing or not, but he said that his trials of every day, they didn't determine his joy in the Lord. Listen. Unlike the children of Israel, our song will never depart. When salvation you choose, one thing you'll never lose is the presence of Jesus. He lives in your heart. Don't hang your harp on the willow. There's still a song you can sing. When all seems to go wrong, you think all hope is gone. By His grace, a new song He'll bring. Don't hang your harp on the willow. You can sing while in a strange land. The Holy Spirit within will be your strength, my friend. So don't hang your harp on the willow. No, don't hang your harp on the willow. No, don't hang your harp on the willow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you might be thinking there, you know what? I don't know whether I like him. I don't know whether I like his singing. I'm just here because of, out of respect to the pastor and because this is a special day. Well, that's fine. If that's the only thing that'll keep you here is good food and respect for your pastor, and a special day like Heritage Days, the anniversary of the church and whatnot, and the first anniversary of the building, that's good enough. But on the other hand, you might not like me, and I'll be honest with you, I don't even really care. You might be sitting there thinking, God, if you think you can bless me, you go ahead and try. I dare you. It's sad a lot of Christians come to church like that. But I said this, I settled this a long time ago with the Lord. It's like we heard about up at camp. It came our theme song, our theme up at camp. I'd written a song up there. But it's not about you. And it's not about me either. Who's it about? Him. So I ended up writing a song up there at camp and ended up being our theme song that very next year. The young people, if you've been to camp, you've heard this song a few times. It just said it's all about who? Not us. Not them. Not me. Not you. But it should be all about Him. What do you think would happen if everybody lived their lives as Christians solely for Him? Revival, amen? It's not about us. It's not about them. It's not about you or me. It's all about Him. Oh, the next time you're feeling prideful, remember, pride's a sin. It's not about us. It's all about Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not. It's not about who you are, what you can do. It's all about serving the Lord, seeking His face, and praising Him for His mercy and grace. It's not us. It's all about Him. When you finally see, it's not about you, then you will find what Jesus Christ can do. He might call you to preach or to a foreign field. It's amazing what God can do if you will just yield. It's not us. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's not about them. It's not about you or me. It's all about Him.
time you're feeling prideful, remember pride is sin. It's not about us, it's all about Him. It's not about us, it's all about Him.
While we're up at Silver State, I kind of lost track of time. We've been up there now 21 years. But somebody was preaching out of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And it was a story I was so familiar with. I was raised in church. Saw my mother put together flannel graph lessons on Friday and Saturday nights so many times. I thought I'd heard the story of David and Goliath so many times that I had it memorized. Pretty much have. But then all of a sudden, hearing somebody preach up there at camp, it struck me as a little odd. Brother Eric, no place in that passage of Scripture is Goliath called a giant. Now, we know he's a giant, but he's not called a giant. His brothers, a few chapters later, are called giants, but he's not. He's called the champion of the Philistines. And all of a sudden, it kind of struck me, Brother McNeil, that maybe, just maybe, as God was giving His revealed word to mankind, He was wanting us down the line to be able to see things from David's perspective and not King Saul's. And folks, sad to say, fundamental Baptist churches all across the country are too much like King Saul and his army. Why? Because they're not so much as in the battle as they are on the sidelines, just being stymied. Forgetting of past victories. Think of Brother A.B. Henderson and all the things he's experienced and the victories that he's seen in fundamentalism. And you know what? The same God that he was able to witness work like that is the same God we have today. Our God hasn't diminished one bit. Ended up writing a song because I came to the conclusion, Brother Cox, that just maybe, when they saw a giant, what David saw was just somebody that needed to be taken out for the glory of the Lord. He wasn't impressed. All he saw was the worst, or the best that the worst had to offer. That's all he saw. The champion of the Philistines. The best. And he asked a question that day. Found in 17:29, chapter 17, verse 29. He said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" On one side of the valley, David's brothers stand in fear. Israel's army wishing they were any place but here. A shepherd boy named David shows up on the scene. He sees God's army frightened by Goliath fierce and mean. Then David speaks out boldly. He wasn't searching for their applause. He rebuked them with this one question: is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Can't you find a reason to stand against the foe in this ungodly season? Is there not a cause to stand up for the Lord? Just fight the fight, He will win the war. Is there not a cause? You know what? The Word of God is still just as apropos today as it was when it was given. Let me ask you a question this afternoon. Do you still think there's a cause? Say amen. Amen. Listen to this verse.
Three Hebrew children would not bow or from their God turn when they were cast into the fire. They did not singe or burn. Well, in this wicked world of sin, there are foes we all will face. As Satan, like a roaring lion, goes from place to place. Oh, but like Daniel found out in the den,
God can shut the lion's jaws. All He asks is that we trust His word. Oh, is there not a cause? Oh, yes, there's still a cause to stand for God and right. The foe cannot prevail when we're trusting in God's might. Oh, yes, there's still a cause to stand up for the Lord. We must fight the fight, but God will win the war. It's there, not
get in that apathetic, complacent spirit like Saul and the army of Israel. And that's why, as Christians, sometimes it's just good to go back. For me, March 11, 1965, to go back and revisit where we came to know Christ as our Savior. Remember where we came from. There's a brand new song that says that. It says, take me back to that place. Life was so simple then. I can remember when I discovered a brand new friend, someone to love even me. When I fell down to pray, the greatest of all my days, how did I slip away? Oh, but You never changed, Lord. You were always the same, Lord. Lord, take me back to the place where I first beheld Your face, where I first discovered You, where forgiveness was brand new. Lord, take me back to the day when all my sins were washed away. Remind me, Lord, of where I was before Your mercy and Your love, before Your grace. Take me back to that place. Well, I was adrift at sea, lost as a lost could be. When You reached down for me, I remember it well. When I first called on You, when it was all brand new, and I saw what love could do, it was so overwhelming. It was so overwhelming. Lord, take me back to the place where I first beheld Your face, where I first discovered You, where forgiveness was brand new. Lord, take me back to the day when all my sins were washed away. Remind me, Lord, of where I was before Your mercy and Your love, before Your grace. Take me back to that place. Oh, make it brand new again. Lord, make it brand new again. Help me remember when. Lord, make it brand new again. Make it brand new again. Lord, make it brand new again. Help me remember when. Lord, make it brand new again. Remind me, Lord, of where I was before Your mercy, before Your love, before Your grace. Take me back. Take me back. Take me back to that place, to
that
place. How can you go back to the day that you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and not just have to give Him some praise? Amen. I love songs that talk about praising God. I got some fellas that sing with me periodically. And through the miracle of technology, I can sing with Jimmy Carter and Donovan McNew anytime and any place I want to. And I don't have to feed either one of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. If all the ones that Jesus touched a song of Him could sing, like the woman at the well and the blind man made to see, if joined in mighty chorus by the crippled and the lame, this is what their words might be as they sing their sweet refrain. I will praise Him forever for all He's done for me. For the blood He shed at Calvary that I could still go free. For His mercy and His saving grace extended unto me. I will praise Him forever for all He's done for me. Amen. While walking down this dead-end road, no light, no hope could see. I was ruined by a life of sin, those chains and fetters binding me. Oh, but then I heard the message, for God so loved the world. Now I have peace and joy within, so let this flag of praise unfurl. I will praise Him forever for all He's done for me. For the blood He shed at Calvary that I could still go free. For His mercy and His saving grace extended unto me. I will praise Him forever for all He's done for me.
Praise you the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. It goes on to say, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Psalms 104:1 says, I will sing praise to the Lord as long as I live. Listen.
I will praise Him forever for all He's done for me. For the blood He shed at Calvary that I could still go free. For His mercy and His saving grace extended unto me. I will praise Him forever for all He's done for me. For His mercy and His saving grace extended unto me. I will praise Him forever for all He's done for me.
Now, I hope we can have a little bit of fun this afternoon. Pastor, he knows this song. The young people know this song. I found it and I brought it to the fellas and they said, yeah, we can sing that. I had no idea that they'd go ahead and submit to recording it. But Brother Carter normally would always introduce the song on a Thursday night. He would hold up one of these. Now, let me ask you something, folks. If your granddad, now I'm 57 years old as of today, but if your granddad could see one of these, What do you think he'd say? Now, I know what my granddad would say. He's just an Arkansas hillbilly. He'd say, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. I held that up one time in Overland Park, Kansas. And I asked that very question. An elderly gentleman sitting about right there on the second row. He stood up and said, well, look at there. They're putting moonshine in little plastic bottles now. This is just water. In fact, if you have any problem with what's in here, you take it up to the pastor, because he's the one that gave me this out of his office. I don't know what he's got in his office, but this is just water. Brother Carter introduced it, and he said, now, there's nothing spiritual about this song. And one Thursday night, I kind of shocked him, because he has no idea what I'm going to say from one moment to the next. I said, well, Brother Jimmy, there's one spiritual application I can think of to that song. He just taught me. We're out at Chuck Wagon. He goes, what in the world could you possibly say that brings us into the spiritual realm? I said, Brother Carter, think about it. In most places they call churches across this land, there's enough water in this one bottle to perform a whole host of baptisms. Not me, I'm a Baptist, amen. It takes a whole lot more water than that. We talked about Baptist heritage today. It's part of our heritage. We are immersed. Well, that's about the only spiritual application you're going to get. This is the trio, and this is just for fun. All right? When you walk into any store, you pay a buck or even more for water, bottled water. If my grandpa were here today, he'd think that we were nuts to pay for water, bottled water. It falls for free out of the sky. The ocean's full, yet still we buy it by the case at Walmart. Bottled water. I'll never understand, but I'd like to meet the man who came up with the plan to bottle up and sell us water. I'm sure his wife said it'll never fly. He said, I bet it will, and here's the reason why. We won't sell just plain old water, but mountain spring, low sodium from Colorado or Canadian water. But where it comes from, no one knows. It could just be a garden hose from Plano. I'm sure I'd be a millionaire if I could bottle up some air and call it bottled oxygen to sell beside their bottled water. Well, we'll go from the silly to the serious, and this is a shouting song. When we're together, I can hardly make it through this song without wanting to just stop and shout. Haven't done it yet, but I've been tempted a few times. Amen. I was a slave in a foreign land, so very far from the Father's loving hand. He rescued me one glorious day. He brought me out and paid the debt I could not pay. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed, I am I'm redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. This is Brother Jimmy right here.
Still I live.
Foreign land.
In a foreign land.
Oh, but now I'm free. According to redemption's plan,
and I'll join the royal and white.
Oh, there's going to be some singing one day. We'll sing a song the holy angels cannot sing. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. Some glorious morning they will come from all nations and from every generation. And side by side they will march into that celestial city of Jehovah, and in perfect harmony they'll begin humming a new song. A song written by God Himself and arranged for all of His children. And as the saved by grace approach this land of their dreams, the host of heaven will have to just step on aside. Even the angels will be silent. Why? Because they cannot sing this new song. For this song is a song reserved for voices that once cried out for a Redeemer. Those were washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. I am redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory. Chains of sin, He set me free.
Chains of sin and set me free.
He set me free. He set me free. He set me. Free indeed, amen. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Well, we've been on the road all these years, and when we first started, man, I was singing songs like Hallelujah Square. I love songs about heaven. Do you? I love heaven songs. That's not my favorite subject to sing about. My favorite subject is the love of God. My second favorite subject is songs about heaven. But Hallelujah Square, and then songs like Oh, What a Moment, Oh, What a Promise. Then other songs came along through the years like Wish You Were Here, Serenaded by Angels. I love songs about heaven, but I guess it's been almost 6-7 years ago now. Song came our way that when I heard it, I thought, that has got to be one of the most unique and most beautiful songs I've ever heard about heaven. But it is a story song. It's a ballad, if you will, and it tells a story. And I'm sure that by the time the story ends, you're going to say, Brother Mar, you are right, you are right. That is one of the most beautiful heaven songs I've ever heard. But you have to follow the story. Here it is. A long time ago, two twin brothers always fought but loved each other. Grew up close, playing in the yard. Sickness came and hit them both hard. One brother lived and one brother died. 8 years old and for weeks he cried. But time has a way of drying the tears as weeks turn to months and the months into years. He graduated, he got married,
They were expecting, she miscarried. They both lived to a ripe old age. Him by her side, the morning she passed away. 2 years later, one December evening, he laid on the couch, he stopped breathing. I can always tell who's never heard this song before because I can see it in your eye. Some of you are looking at me like, that has got to be the most dreary, sad song I've ever heard sung in church. I thought this was a great song about heaven. Well, it is. You just have to wait till this verse. Here it comes. Well, now he woke up on the other side. There stood his brother, arms open wide. I have been waiting to see you again. What took you so long? Where have you been? I got here as fast as I could. I never dreamed I would feel so good. I feel happy, I feel numb. I feel like crying, but the tears won't come. My, how I miss you. Couldn't you see me? There were some lessons he had to teach me. And finally I understood. Everyone leaves when they should. But I'm a slow learner. I got here as fast as I could. This is my favorite part right here. Then suddenly out of the light, there stood the woman he'd loved all his life. Say hello to your dad. She was holding that baby that paid. Never had. Well, now I got here as fast as I could. I never dreamed I could feel so good. I feel happy, I feel numb. I feel like crying, but the tears won't come. My, how I missed you. Couldn't you see me? There were some lessons he had to teach me. Finally, I understood. Everyone leaves when they should. But I'm a slow learner. I got here as fast as I could.
It has a happy ending, doesn't it? Amen. That song was written by a friend of ours, and I love that song. And listen, folks, I could have sung Mansion on the Hilltop, and that would have been just as speculative about heaven, because if you do a study about heaven in the Word of God, you'll find that God has seen fit to not tell us hardly anything about heaven. Now, some might disagree and say, but Brother Mark, he tells us a lot about heaven. The streets of gold and the gates of pearl and the crystal river. Well, if that's all we had to look forward to, that'd be fine. But I didn't describe heaven to you. What I just described to you is what John saw coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned. What we attribute to heaven is the new city Jerusalem. But the Word of God tells us, he tells us in Isaiah 65, I believe it is, he said, "For I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall pass away and be remembered no more, nor come to mind." Apparently what he has in store for us is so wonderful that once we're there in that new created earth and what he has waiting for us one day, we don't even think about this life ever again. It's going to be a great place. Amen. I introduced you to my mom in a unique way this morning. My mom had a signature song, and sad to say, and it's a happy thing, don't get me wrong. My dad's been home with the Lord since 2002, but for most of my life growing up as a kid, my poor father did not have his own identity. He was just known as Hazel's husband. Preachers had come, and our pastor had come and say, "Brother John, do you think you and Miss Hazel could take a couple of days off? I've got to be over here in Roswell, or I've got to be up here in Yakima, or I've got to be over here singing, or they've got a pastor's meeting." And it wasn't because they wanted my dad's fellowship. It's because they wanted my mom to sing, and they knew dad had to be part of the package to get that to happen. But invariably, whenever mom would sing, there was a song that she was noted for, and it's an old Stuart Hamlin song, and I love the history of Stuart Hamlin. He got saved after a life of fame and drunkenness. His fame brought him a lot of things that caused him many problems, and it wasn't long after he had come to know Christ and God had delivered him from alcohol that he was on a movie set with a man by the name of John Wayne. I told this to the young people up at camp, I think, maybe this summer. And while they were in between times of filming, John Wayne said, "Stuart, hey, we got some time. Let's go get a drink." No, John, I don't do that anymore. What do you mean you don't do that anymore? Well, John, there's been some things changing my life, and I don't drink. I haven't touched alcohol in some time. Well, I'd sure like to know the secret to that. John, there's no secret to it. What happened in my life is I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and when He saved me, He completely delivered me from alcohol. I haven't had a drink since. Stuart, you ought to write a song about that. He did. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll see you through. It is no secret what God can do. How many of you have heard that song before? Bet you didn't know where it came from. Now you do. Like Paul Harvey used to say, you know the rest of the story. Well, this is my favorite Stuart Hamlin song. Well, he wrote this Old House and a number of other songs, but this is a song my mom used to sing. And, you can tell it was written by an old cowboy songwriter because it talks about that stairway winding all the way to heaven. My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. All the things of earth will dim and lose their value when we recall they're but borrowed for a while. And those things of earth that caused this old heart to tremble, remembered there, will only bring a smile. This weary world, with all its toil and struggle, may take its toll of misery and strife. Oh, but the soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. Oh, but until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. Time for the one last song, Pastor. Can we do that? I want to take the opportunity. Thank you for that basket of purple. I haven't gone through everything that's in there yet, but man, I needed a little desk calculator. Praise the Lord. I like that one. And it's purple on top of that. where we're living in perilous times, aren't we? And folks, you know, God gives blessings like today to allow Mary and I to be able to fellowship a little bit with you in this beautiful facility that God blessed you with. But it's no surprise to any of us that there's been a lot of changes over these many, many years. I was telling some young pastors up at camp, it's been about 6-7 years ago. I don't know how we got started on it, but we were playing dominoes up there. I was surprised them being as young as they were even knew that they even knew how to play dominoes. But we were playing dominoes and somebody had brought up the cable network show TV Land, where they show all the old broadcasts like Green Acres and Gilligan's Island. And somebody happened to mention Leave It to Beaver. And one of their responses was, wow, man, that was nothing but a bunch of fantasy. And I stopped and I said, no, excuse me, that wasn't fantasy. That's exactly the way it was when I was growing up. The sad thing is, my grandchildren, we've got 5 now with a 6th one on the way. Man, once we got into it, we're doing well. We love the script. We're Oma and Opa to those kids and don't get to see them as much as we'd like. But sad thing is, my grandchildren, our grandchildren will probably never experience the America that I grew up in, because we've long since seemingly put God upon the shelf. And I know that it was said out of hatefulness and out of a racist attitude, but it was made mention of some years ago during an election that the roosters or the chickens have come home to roost. Now, if you wanted to put that in the spiritual realm, you'd be absolutely right, because how can you not expect God to judge a nation that has turned their back on Him as we have? Things are going in a way that none of us probably would be willing to say we enjoy, but I'm not losing any sleep over it. I'm being honest with you, because I know that not one second, Brother McNeil, has any of it caught my God by surprise. Remember when the old prophet went up against the prophets of Baal? He began to mock them and say, maybe he's taking a vacation. Maybe he's just asleep. My God doesn't take a vacation. He doesn't have to sleep. He is totally aware of what's going on. And it's all working out according to His will. The sad thing is, as Christians, too often we allow the daily things of life, circumstances, a country that is failing, economics that are going down, we allow those things to control whether we're happy or not. Paul didn't. Now, undoubtedly, Paul was not always a happy man, in that I'm sure when the lashes were coming across his back, he was probably not smiling and laughing about it. But he still had his joy. This didn't happen immediately on the road to Damascus. We know that because he tells us when he's writing to the church at Philippi. He says this. He says, listen, I know what it's like to abound. I know what it's like to be abased. What he's saying in terms where a dumb singer like me can understand, he said, I know what it's like when life's good. I know what it's like when life's not so good. But then he says in the verse prior to that, he sets that up with this. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Did you catch that? He learned it. Boy, if you haven't learned it by now, you better, because it very well might be that the faith that you have is all you have to get you from day to day. It could get that bad. I hope it doesn't, but it might. And why should we be spared the things that other countries have had to go through and experience, other societies? When you turn your back on God, you're in for a rude awakening. But it's also a time of excitement, because that's when the true faith of God's people comes to the surface. Not that I speak in respect of want, he says, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be what? Content. Oh, I hope you can say you're content in the Lord this morning, and that your contentment or your joy. See, happiness is an outward expression, but joy is something they could never take from Paul, because it was way down deep. And his daily circumstances did not determine his joy, because that was determined by God Himself. I think this is the right song to close with. Because see, when you're talking about that, Paul had made a choice. He just says, I choose not to let those things govern my life. I choose to let Him govern my life. Master, may I be so honest? Could I admit the way I feel? I'm hurting, and it seems that You've forsaken. I wonder, is Your love for me still real? Though my friends think I am happy, unaffected by this trial. They can't see the pain I'm hiding just underneath my smile. Master, I can't live this way anymore. So today I make my choice. I choose to believe that you are faithful, and my heart is in your hands. And this mystery that I face today is part of a greater plan. I choose not to be discouraged when the sun will not break through. I have a choice of trusting you. So, Lord, this is what I choose. I know that this road will not be easy, and I know that I will have my weaker days when old Satan, he tells me I don't mean it when I say that I will trust God all the way. But that really doesn't matter. I refuse to hear him out. With my faith, I'll find the power that will overcome all doubt. Oh, Lord, I've never felt so strong as when I'm resting in your arms. I choose to believe that you are faithful, and my heart is in your hands. And this mystery that I face today is part of a greater plan. I choose not to be discouraged when the sun will not break through. I have a choice of trusting you. So, Lord, this is what I choose. I choose to believe. And this mystery that I face today is part of your greater plan. I choose not to be discouraged when the sun will not break through. I have this choice of trusting you. So, Lord, this is what I choose. This is what I choose. I'm gonna trust you, Lord.